I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right.
It's time for Touché, our Monday night discussion about politics. A perfect night for it after a strong weekend of national politics. Chris Roebling, Republican, I would say analyst, is in studio. Tracy Seffel's in for Dave Lundy. She's a Democrat strategist. Both of you, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
You bet. Greetings.
All right, so let's talk about this. So the big news this weekend had to have been the New York Times piece that was really about the inner workings of the Donald Trump campaign. His sources call him erratic behind the scenes. He's going one way. He's hot. He's temper all over the place, and they can't keep him in control, which is in line with what we've seen with a lot of the gaffes in the last couple of weeks. And he came out strong quickly yesterday and today, really going after the media. Hillary Clinton takes almost a backseat for the mainstream media that's trying to protect her. What do we think of this? I mean, is this something that, I mean, we've seen this kind of strategy, and I've seen some response that says, you know, the mainstream media, not well-liked. This is not a bad play for Donald Trump.
This is a horrible play for Donald Trump. He's got to stop. He's got to get back on the disaster that is Hillary, and there are really two dimensions to that. Number one, the scandals, which never cease. I hope to get back to that. The other is this big flat tire of her so-called jobs program, which is just another spending program that she came up with or sort of channeled. She got to Detroit and she started channeling the 1960s. I think it was the ghost of John Dingell, who is a great guy. I know, but you know, and you know, I wonder what people think, how they think anything will change when basically she says more of same, but this time it'll work. And that's all that
Tracy,
her program amounts to.
Yeah.
So I hope a large majority of your listeners did read the article you mentioned. It's fascinating stuff. It's psychodrama. It's sociology. It's a whole lot of things wrapped into some really good reporting by some of the best sourced reporters working today. And, you know, the biggest issue that I think you could make with Donald Trump's complaints about the media is that they refer to it as Donald Trump's campaign. And that is becoming more and more of a misnomer. This is not a presidential campaign. This is just some sort of rogue operation being run by this guy that at every turn there's a misstep or, frankly, a calculated step. It's not a presidential campaign. He doesn't have field activities. He's not on the air except for when he is, but that's, you know what I'm saying.
For
he's
media,
not spending.
Yeah, right.
He's not, you know, it's
but
just,
is that a bad thing? I mean, is it a way to think of, he ran as an outsider.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't want to play the same game that the establishment has played.
You just want to play the same game.
For the fair-minded Republicans out there, Chris, maybe tonight you'll be one of them. I do think that there's I do think that there's a disservice to the way Trump is approaching all of this. He's going to leave down ballot Republican candidates pretty screwed. And that is why it matters that he's not running a traditional campaign.
But you should be happy. You should be jumping for joy. But the problem with your analysis, and I don't disagree with elements of what you say. I mean, look, I wasn't backing Trump in the primary. Because of my gig at WGN TV, I wasn't backing anybody in the primary, but I was encouraging people not to vote for Trump. And, you know, and this is now look what we've had since the convention. It's been sort of one pie in the face after another. So, and then I do want to say about the New York Times, hardy har har. They're going to go attack Donald Trump because he's the Republican. They have not, what did they go? 2 weeks before they announced Hillary's problem with where she misstated the public record on
Do you really
Chris
feel there's
Wallace
a bias in the New York Times?
Are you kidding me? Are
Republicans feel that? That's a,
all
is that a,
but I want to go back
I didn't
to
know that. I mean,
the,
I always
problem,
thought them
to be
the newspaper no, no, the that problem with broke Tracy, the email server story.
I want to say the problem
is biased.
That's what
yes.
I thought. I mean,
the problem with Tracy's analysis is this: as bad as he is in reference to all normal evaluative indices, he's still not that far away from Hillary. And the reason for that is her lousy economic program that she announced in.
He's not that far from her. I'm telling you, she's crushing him.
You know what?
A real Republican
who knows what he's doing could beat Hillary.
Okay.
Well, that train has left the station.
That train has not left the station. That train's got another 25 days to run. And I also want to tell you that even if Trump were to somehow take the discipline pill, which I don't think he will, but if he did, I think Trump could catch her too.
Let me ask you this, Chris, because it kind of gets me is that, you know, you come on the show and I love it. I love that you come on every week.
I like
and you
here
really
too.
Do the almost the talking points for the Republican establishment, the anti-Hillary. You don't go sort of like Trump is the bet. Trump is the guy. You have done the split where it's like instead of talking about Trump, you talk about how not Hillary. Is that does your candidate, Donald Trump, who is the Republican candidate?
I'm not taking these talking points.
No, okay, but
from
what I'm saying is he.
I make this stuff up. Myself.
Yeah. Is he.
They
take it from you. Sure. Okay. Well, they're taking it from you.
Yeah.
Does he feel the same way the Republicans do? Donald Trump, is he Republican enough to be able to stick to the talking points about the anti-Hillary? Because the stuff about stamina.
I think what we've seen since the convention and what many of us were warning about earlier was that. You can't trust this guy to stick to message, and it's an ego thing, and it's all about Donald Trump. And I mean, some people think that he was sort of brought into this by Bill Clinton and George Soros. Other people think he's doing this just to extend his brand. Other people think that he really is just, you know, in love with the attention.
Let me ask you this, Tracy. I find this fascinating. As a Democratic strategist, and you've worked with Hillary before, what would you advise the candidate to do when the person she's running against continues to trip up and say things that the media just grabs on like red meat? I mean, what should Hillary Clinton be doing right now?
Pop popcorn. Sit back and watch. There is no need for her to be stooping down. Like Michelle Obama said in her speech, they go low, we go high. And that's what she's doing. She doesn't need to be the one out there addressing him with the nonsense and, you know, rebutting every single factual thing that comes out of his mouth wrong. She doesn't need to do that. And the polls are showing that that's a pretty darn effective strategy. She's got any number of people who will happily go on the record to essentially trash what Trump is saying and why a sociopathic narcissist is a danger to this country. She doesn't need to do that. She needs to do what she's doing. Get out the vote. Look at voter registrations. Share her economic plans.
Right.
And that's the strategy. So enjoy the popcorn.
I would say the only thing I would add to that is this. She has to keep her fingers crossed. Okay? She has to cross those fingers because, you know, when the story about the emails and the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative and the United States Department of State under Hillary Clinton, you know, hopping to when it gets an email from the foundation or from the Clinton Global Initiative, and staffers who are wearing one hat in the morning, they're working for the foundation at breakfast, they're working for the State Department at lunch and for the initiative in the afternoon. I mean, it's just an unbelievable rat's nest of conflicts of interest. She brought that with Bill Clinton to our State Department. And it got zero coverage. It got zero coverage, except I'm talking about it here tonight.
But wait, let me just finish.
And she has to keep her fingers crossed that Donald Trump will keep getting between her scandals and the American public. He ought to be picking them up, carrying them to his next speaking engagement, and giving them to everybody there and everybody on TV and everybody in cyber world. And he's not doing it. So I agree with the popcorn analogy. I just think she has to keep her fingers crossed that Trump doesn't get religion.
Chris Roebling, Tracy Seffel, we're doing Touche here on The Download every Monday night. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right, you go left, you go left, you go right.
All right, back at it. Chris Roebling and Tracy Seffel is in for Dave Lundy tonight. We are in the middle of Touche, our Monday night political segment. Right now talking about Trump's gas, but more along the lines of what Trump should be doing. Because as you saw, Chris, I mean, today was, he got back on message with Hillary Clinton, but the first part of the day and yesterday was all about the media. And yeah, and I want to ask you again about this concept. I mean, does that at all resonate with core?
No. Okay. No. There are only three things. I said this last Monday. I wrote it, or two Mondays ago, whenever it was. I wrote it in that letter to Donald Trump that he obviously doesn't care about. But anyway, I said there are only three things he should talk about. Number one, Barack Obama's failures with the economy. Number two, Hillary's promise to continue Barack Obama's failures with the economy. Number three, his own personal plan for a strong, growing, vibrant, job-producing economy. So those are the three things he should talk about. Obama failure, Hillary's promise to continue the failure, and his ability to get something new going on that is going to be good for everybody.
Okay.
He won't talk about those things for an entire news cycle.
Is it possible he'll
talk about it, and then he'll go out and he'll start
attacking
somebody.
You and Dave argued about this last week, but I mean, because again, we are a society that looks through the rose-colored glasses. If you look on the other side, Democrats would want to tout some of the economic recovery because the numbers are up. Things look good for the country. There's always going to be this division between Republicans and Democrats on how this country is moving forward.
Without question. And yet, what did we have Trump do just today? This was allegedly a policy speech that he was
going to give.
Foreign policy speech. And he starts talking about things like extreme vetting of immigrants seeking asylum in this country, extreme vetting. I'm not even sure even the most seasoned immigration experts know what he's referring to, given how difficult the process already is. I don't think Donald Trump knows what is already in place either. And this sort of McCarthyism that he was invoking as he continued to talk about the way that we would root out un-American thoughts and behaviors. And I mean, he was so off the rails in this speech. I was following the reactions throughout the day, and expert after expert was just destroying him, that it was incomprehensible, it was illogical, it was dangerous. That word seems to come up a lot when he offers ideas. They're dangerous. And that's what he's doing. He's not following Chris's instructions. He didn't read the letter, clearly.
No.
But he obviously, Chris, I guess what gets me about it is I'm not sure that he is a Republican in the way that he's going to take that advice from you. That he almost ran an anti-Republican campaign the primary.
He's the party of Trump.
He doesn't believe the same things that you believe or that Republicans believe. So he has a different, like, he's going to go after extreme. He's going to do the things. It's almost like Tracy just said, party of Trump.
I want to tell you, I disagree with the premise to your prior question. People do not think that the economy is doing well. The only people who think that are the people who are paid to think that on behalf of Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. Here's what the American people think.
I don't know about that.
We have, okay, let me recite my evidence.
I'm not
paying. More than two-thirds of the people in the country have consistently said we are on the wrong track. More than two-thirds of Americans today, in national poll after national poll, so American dream is dead. And they're not saying that because they dislike Hillary or because... Frankly, the amazing thing is they are saying that, and yet Obama is popular. They don't dislike... isn't anti-Obama.
Chris, let me ask you this, and I don't have the numbers in front. I don't do enough research. I'm glad that you brought numbers into the
half play. Americans think we're in a recession.
I know, but how... I guess is the idea that the American people are not happy with the economy? Because if you look at 2008, before Obama took over, they were unhappy with the economy. When you look at 2000, when the gas prices were going up,
I'm sorry, it's not redundant.
Okay, that's what I'd like to see the numbers of how people react every 8 years. Yeah.
I'm sorry, this has been true for the last 6 or 7 years.
Hillary has
the weakest recovery in American history, except for the Great Depression.
I think Hillary has very commendably walked the line on this issue. You know, Chris, you're right. The wrong track numbers are potent and pretty consistent. But what Hillary has said is that she's acknowledged that. She's not denying the economic hardships that too many people are still facing. When she talks about her economic plans, you know, for example, the investments in infrastructure or expanding manufacturing opportunities and so forth, she's actually directing these to specific sectors of the country that are hurting. So it's not that there's a right or wrong here. It's that we have seen the wrong track numbers consistently. We also know that Hillary is addressing that.
No, we don't. What Hillary is doing is saying that which has caused what you are feeling, I will continue, but do it in a slightly different way. Under Trump, corporate income tax is going to be 15%. Under Hillary, it will be 45%. You go out on the streets of Michigan Avenue or on the streets of Chicago or Los Angeles, New York, and you ask people how many jobs are going to be created when we have 45% versus 15%. Everybody understands that our tax system, when you have major American corporations reconstituting themselves, doing corporate inversions in places like Ireland, people understand that the Barack Obama tax scheme is choking American jobs.
That's what taxes. People,
well, yeah. Do you want to know what taxes Hillary wants to raise?
You know what I think the Americans want to see? Are Donald Trump's tax returns.
Let's talk about the economy.
Talk about corporate inversions. Let's talk about tax rates.
I'm sure you will see them as soon as we see Hillary's texts sucking up to big finance in her Wall Street speeches that she does not want to give to anyone before they have to vote.
Let's see what is in those tax returns. Even Mike Pence, who continues to sort of
right. What happened to Mike Pence?
I have news about Mike Pence. Mike Pence is coming to Chicago.
Okay.
Mike Pence is going to be speaking at the City Club. And so go to the City Club website. I don't know if it's up yet, but it will be. He's coming here on Tuesday afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Okay. Tomorrow?
No, next week.
Next week. All right, let's go.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll probably have his tax returns.
I have announced that here. You are
breaking news, Justin.
Breaking news. Pence, you asked where's Pence?
We got
to
wrap up. We got to wrap up. Tracy Steffel, Chris Roebling. We have to. It's not too early. We're right on time.
There's too much.
But I will say, I mean, we'll continue this conversation because I think there is an argument, and it's a political argument, about which, you know, when you talk about income equality and you talk about the economy, where the blame lies, because
under Obama's plan, right, we have worse income inequality than at any time in our history. Why does that matter to you? Because
what he was inherited in 2008 was
when will it be his responsibility?
I think
I'm asking you, give me a date.
Two years ago, five years ago.
Okay. Voters, everything he's done since then.
The election isn't about blaming Obama.
No,
that
but I'm
not
asking
what this is about.
Justin raised the question of income inequality. It's worse today than it was when he took over.
Well, okay. Chris, I love that you bring all this research. I love that you spend 3 hours before we talk
preparing,
parsing, or you're lying. One of the two.
Important.
Chris Roebling, Tracy Steffel, Touche every Monday night. Tracy, thanks for being in tonight.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you guys.
See you guys next week.